This is Wake Up Call,
another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Colbert, here's Tony D.
Wake up!
Oh, glad you can be with us. It is Wake Up Call on SB Nation Radio. One point from the match. We've been spending a good part of the morning talking about the golf event yesterday between the golf and NFL superstars. And one point that I know we've touched on so many times, but I feel like I got to do it again because of what I saw in the broadcast, is how good Peyton Manning is at television. How good of an entertainer Peyton Manning is. It's almost you forget, you don't forget how good of a quarterback he was, right? You ever forget that. But the way he kind of self-deprecates, the way he says funny lines, the way he ribs, you know, anybody around at that moment, and the way he's just a natural entertainer at his own expense a lot of the time, you almost forget what an incredible, intense competitor he was in the days he was playing. And we'll never forget that he was a great quarterback, but that incredible intensity that he would have in knowing you as an opponent and knowing your tendencies as an opponent and how competitive he was, you almost get this laissez-faire kind of guy that's just kind of chilling out. His commercials are funny. He's funny. He's very loose, natural, feels like a guy you can hang around with. But in the end, burns as a competitive spirit as good as any of the four that were there. And I kind of have to sit back sometimes and really marvel at the talent that he has, not only to play, you know, not only to play quarterback at the highest level and be one of the all-time greats, but also just the way he just is a naturally born entertainer. And that's what that event really needed last night. I mean, look, we saw this a week ago with the TaylorMade match. You're going to draw fans that are dying for a level of competition. You're going to draw in golfers. How do you draw in a larger portion of the population? How do you draw in people that can give or take, you know, that like golf, but, you know, it really isn't their bread and butter, but really love the NFL? Well, you put Brady Manning in this, but you give Manning a microphone enough to be entertaining, because, man, whether he's selling you insurance or whether he is talking about football or whether he's making jokes about his family or he is a natural entertainer. And it was on display yesterday.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
This up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, the Toronto with two N's. Was talking about Peyton Manning. We always talk about this about Peyton Manning. He's a very good entertainer. He understands humor. Look, you know what self-deprecating humor does? It makes you likable. If you can make fun of yourself and you have no problems with making fun of yourself, you know, it makes you relatable. And Peyton does that incredibly well. Incredibly. Nothing used to irk me more than guys who would, like, especially in radio. Like, I would work with a lot of DJs and news people and whatnot that would always do that thing where they would humble brag, but they didn't know how to do it well. And, like, I would always go, it'd be better if you just kind of had a little self-deprecating humor a little bit. And Peyton does that. He's got incredible college career, and yet pokes fun at himself. But he can also deliver a little bit. Here's a couple of little tidbits from Peyton Manning at the match yesterday, including who should be Tom Brady's caddy.
Here and my partner, Brady, we were talking. We would have brought Gronkowski because Gronk does whatever Tom asks him to do. Go wrestle, take a year off, come play in Tampa with me later, come caddy for me. You know, it's hard to get to him, right? But, you know, so, you know, do you bring Eli? Could do that. You bring Nick Foles, maybe.
Cheap shot.
That's awesome. Cheap shot.
You bring Nick Foles.
Bring Nick Foles, Eli.
And that wasn't bad audio. That was the rain.
That was the rain.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying earlier, man. It was really pouring. You know, sometimes television doesn't do the rain at tournaments justice. It can't really showcase you how much it rains. There's always those, they have to have a certain angle where you really can start seeing coming down. But early in that match, I was like, my God, it's pouring.
Yeah. This didn't look like fun.
It is coming down in buckets.
That, right, the heavy stuff won't come down for quite some time.
That's right. Very nice.
Just kept replaying that over and over in my head.
Exactly. Here's Peyton Manning again on what was he buzzing about? This next one?
The fact that he wasn't going to be caught dead in Georgia colors.
Oh, that's right. Here it is. Hear him reminding all of us where he went to college.
Well, it's because, he'll set it up for you.
He'll set it up for you.
Yeah.
You know, Tom and Phil kind of have matching outfits. They wanted to know if I'd want to wear black and red like Tiger. I'm like, I'm not wearing black and red. That's Georgia Bulldog colors. I mean, I just can't do that. I mean, if you want me to get sick on the first hole, I'll do it. But, you know, I'm not going to let Kirby Smart get a picture of me in black and red for their social media account. So
that is great. That was a great point, too. He's like a public figure. Everywhere he goes, somebody's taking a picture. And he's like, every outfit he has to wear for the rest of his life has to be, make sure it does not coordinate with some SEC school.
Yeah, and it's tough because it's there's tough. No way he can go around wearing orange and white all the time.
That's right, he can't. He can't do that. But he's also, like, he can wear red, but he can't wear it with black or white.
Yep.
He can wear blue, but he can't pair it with orange or red, like Ole Miss. He's got to be careful.
No maroon.
No maroon. Yeah.
Let's see what other colors.
Yeah, he can't do any of that stuff.
What about on the other side? Could you go blue and orange?
Yeah. Well, that's true. He could.
I mean, that's the other side of the aisle, though. I mean,
yeah, I think he can do. He could dress in any other. He's got to find other colleges outside of the SEC. I think he'd be good in Michigan colors. I don't think anybody would bother him about that.
Could he do Michigan colors?
Yeah. He could have done Michigan colors yesterday.
That's because of Brady.
That's because of Brady. He could have done it yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of Michigan colors, here's another one for you.
Hey, hold on. Let me step on that real quick.
Let me put any Michigan.
They haven't been good since you left. Can you recruit them a little bit? Recruit some quarterbacks or something?
Barkley and Thomas are in trouble. Look at you.
He told Peyton Manning Tennessee has not been good since he left.
Yeah, that was when he was going to step on Smokey, by the way.
That's true. Oh, he was going to step on Smokey?
Yeah, Peyton had one of his club head covers with Smokey.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
So he had taken it off and was getting ready to step on it.
By the way, T. Martin, I got your back. Tennessee won a national championship the year after Peyton Manning left. A lot of people don't remember that one. T. Martin was their quarterback. They won a national title. Beat Florida State. And I think it was the first BCS match. But he's right. Here's the deal. They haven't been good since Phil Fulmer left, really. I mean, Lane Kiffin had them up and running, but they've been pretty bad. But they're starting to climb back up again, but they've been pretty bad. So Brady's kind of right, because that's true. But at the same time, they did win a national title the year Peyton left. I remember when Peyton announced he was going back for his senior year. What a big, big, gigantic deal that was. I remember he was, I mean, that guy was heading right to the pros after his junior season. I remember he had a little speech about coming back to Tennessee, and that place went bananas. Like, the whole campus went bananas as Peyton was coming back. But they had to wait until he left to win their national title. So, but it's still some good ribbing from everybody all around. One of my favorite ones was that came around was the one that says Justin Thomas, who was the on-course reporter. And Justin Thomas, they teased him for going to Alabama. Like, he said something about going to Alabama, and then Peyton Manning said something about, he says, I don't need an Alabama graduate. And Tiger Woods said, well, he didn't graduate. Because Justin Thomas left school early. Like Jordan Spieth, like won a national title or something. And then
another moment, too, where Charles said, hey, you and I got to kind of be on the same team here.
Right. Because it was Auburn, right?
Auburn and Tennessee against Alabama.
Right. That's right. That's very true. Let's go to Richard in West Virginia. Wants to talk the match here on SB Nation Radio.
I must have missed Peyton Manning's humorous quips. Mostly what I heard was Phil Mickelson. He seemed to be the one that did most of the chatter.
That is true. That is true.
But what I was wondering, when it comes to that, just you talking about how entertaining he is, why didn't he take that Monday night NFL job?
No, I'm wondering about the same thing myself. I don't know. Listen, there's a big commitment that goes with that that sometimes you just don't want to do. You got to go to the town ahead of time. You're talking to players and coaches. You're doing a lot of research. And some people, they want what they don't want. It's kind of like, what's that line? You don't want to know how the sausage is made. You know, it's kind of like that. The amount of effort and work you put into that job, some people just go, I'm really having a good retirement. I'm really loving my life. I'm really loving being able to do all the things I get to do. I really don't want to spend 17 weeks on the road, going to towns, talking to coaches and players, preparing for one broadcast, and then going right back and doing it again. Some people, sometimes it's just not the right time to do it. I think Manning will eventually be in the booth, Richard. I really do. I think eventually the call is going to be too strong. He's going to want to do it. He's going to want to try it at some point. But he might be at the position right now where he's like really enjoying his life and just doesn't want to put in that type of commitment. But I'm with you. I really honestly, truly think he should be doing it because he's so entertaining and he's got so many good, he's got such good football insight, but he delivers it in a way that's refreshing. I think he'd be perfect for it.
Well, if he does all that, then I'd like to hear him on there. That is, if the NFL plays,
I'd like to hear him.
But apparently he turned it down. So if the reason you're saying he turned it down is why I turned it down, then case for all, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks for the call, Rich. Appreciate it. Thank you much.
I mean, maybe Peyton is just waiting it out because right now he's a hot commodity.
Yeah, he's waiting it out.
He's got commercials. SNL will probably come calling for him, especially after this. Maybe he'll do a match three. We don't know.
I read somewhere that he's a member at Augusta National. I did not know he was a member at Augusta National.
Well, they probably gave it to him.
No, they don't
Come
give
on,
away.
It's Peyton.
They don't give away Augusta National.
I know.
They don't give that away. There have been presidents of the United States that can't get an invite to Augusta National.
That's crazy to think about.
Yeah. But I think it's great that, he is like looking at all of his options, right? I mean, you want to make sure that, I don't think it's money. I think they would have offered anything you wanted. I think it's the work. I think there's a tremendous amount of work that you got to put into that. And, you think about what you just came off of, like Tony Romo went from going right from the rigors of football right into the broadcast booth. Jason Witten did the same thing until he went back to football.
But for Romo, not even to the broadcast booth. He went right to the number one team.
Number one seat, right? Because a lot of people, when they do that, they don't want to get away from the game, right? They know they can't play the game anymore, but they don't want to get away from it. So they want to go right to the next level of broadcast. That's what Jason Witten thought he was doing when he retired and went to Monday Night Football and then went back to football, which was, I'm going to stay with it. I think Manning is the kind of guy that understands, look, I got a lot of other things that are going on in my life, and I want to break from all of this. Even though I love football and football is part of my life, I want to do football my way. I want to do Peyton places. I want to sporadically talk about different things, and I want to enjoy my family right now. But I think the pull of the sport and the pull of his legacy is going to make him go do this, because I think when people. Over and over and over and over and over again tell you you'd be really good at something, eventually, I don't care who you are, eventually you're going to want to try it to see for yourself. I mean, he's got to hear how good he would be at that job almost every day from people. I mean, it's because he would be really good at that job. But I wonder if there's just an acknowledgement on his part going, I know the commitment, and if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right. So I am going to be on planes and in hotels and meeting with coaches and players, and I am going to be doing my research, and I am going to be doing all of those things that you're supposed to do at this job, and it's just not something I want to do. It's not just showing up and broadcasting. I got to put a lot of work to it, and I don't want to, I want my freedom a little bit. And then I'll dive right back into it. Because right now, like he runs the production of those Peyton places. Like he's got like a little production company that puts those on. So he's kind of doing all of that stuff on his own with his team, et cetera. He's having fun. It's fun. They're fun to do. And I think that's probably the reason. We'll see. But you know, I think eventually enough people tell him he's good, he's going to go, yeah, I'll give it a try. All right, on Twitter again, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. We'll get to some tweets coming up. And the good, the bad, the dumb, that's coming up in 15 minutes, so you don't want to miss that here on Monday on SB Nation AM. So again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. I will get to some tweets until we go to the break. Robert on Twitter, I watched for an hour, more or less, observation. Winner, golf duffers like me at times look like my bad golf game. That's at least the Brady angle of it. The Brady angle was how bad he was playing. And we've all been there on the tee. Like if you played golf and you're, you know, kind of average, where you know, there's some pressure to hit a green or hit it in the fairway, and then he just immediately goes left or immediately goes right. Brady had those kind of tee shots early in the match, but he did play better later on, which I thought was really, really great for him, because there's an exposure that these guys really don't want. You're playing with two professionals, right? Not only two professionals, two of the best professionals that have ever played in Mickelson and Woods. And you're an accomplished star in your own right, but at the same time you get put in this position where you don't have the same level of ability on the competitive field, where for Tom Brady that has never been the case, right, in his NFL career, where, well, maybe early on his career, but once he was a Super Bowl champion, there was never a moment where he felt like he was less than an athlete than anybody he was playing. And then you get into that position where I'm not a professional golfer and now I'm playing against professional golfers. All right, more to come on Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb. That is coming up in 10 minutes. You don't want to miss that. Here is on a Memorial Day Monday. Glad you could be with us on SB Nation Radio. It is Wake Up Call. I do want to get to something that it's kind of, and listen, it's a little on the serious side, but with all of the sports that we're feeling like is starting to come back in some capacity, and I am telling you that the news is starting to really heat up. And a lot of it has to do with timelines, and a lot of it has to do with, look, we're running out of time if we want to wrap up a season or if we want to get something started. So you're going to start seeing a lot more movement as we get closer and closer. We get into June in a couple of days. Once we get into that month, I think that's going to be the make or break month for a lot of these teams and these organizations, if you will, about getting back on the playing field or in the court or the ice or whatever it is. Players, the Players Association and the NHL passing a 24-team playoff format to get their sport wrapped up, their season wrapped up. I think basketball, as we talked about earlier, going to Disney and trying to figure out a way to be isolated, limit exposure, but get in a lot of games. I think that's been on the table, and now it looks like that might come to fruition. Baseball still hammering out some economics, which is a kind of a sad part of the tale, but nevertheless an important part for them anyway, and they could be going off in July. But this weekend is yet another reminder, as I see a lot of video of people on beaches and a lot of people on vacation having a weekend and whatnot, is that it feels like we're just sort of, I don't know. I said this one time about my area. It feels like, and I see this a lot, and it reminds me, it feels like when your parents give you a month long, punishment, and after like a week and a half they sort of forget, and next thing you know you're still playing with your buddies and you're still doing a lot of things, and they go, oh yeah, that's right, you were grounded for a month. It feels that way. It feels like more and more, you know, people getting outside, and all the information is so topsy-turvy. I don't know what to make of it all. Like before it was, coronavirus can live on a surface for a week and a half until it's wiped away. And now it says you can't get it from a surface. So that does change the game a little bit. And I wonder how many of these organizations are dealing directly with the CDC and if their health officials within their organization are talking to health officials that are finding this stuff out about the virus, because it is important for the sports world. world, because look, you can have all the testing that you want, but if you find out that you can't get it by touching a baseball bat that somebody else touches, right? That's a game changer. It's another additional piece of information that sports is going to need in order to successfully come back to keep its players safe. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I'm just saying there seems to be information every day that challenges things that we perceived. That's one of the struggles that we've had over the last 2 months with this. Masks don't work. Now everybody needs to wear them, right? Before it was you can't get it person to person. Now you can get it person to person. Now they're saying you can get it off surfaces, so make sure you wipe everything down with a combination of bleach and ammonia and alcohol and all this other stuff. But on the other side, now there's reports saying it doesn't live on the surface. You can't get it from surface to surface contact. It's mostly person to person. Well, those are big. That's big information. Again, when you're talking about basketball, when you're talking about shared basketballs, when you're talking about all those, you know, it's a moment where you go, okay, look, if this is information that's true and this is real, this is how you can start laying it to players about concerns that they may have. Okay, well, you're not going to be able to get it through this and this. And then we'll continue to test and we'll continue to do a lot of tests. And all of a sudden, sports can, you know, start really coming back. And I think that's big news from the surface to surface. I think that's big news for the colleges. I think that's one of the main concerns when it comes to workouts and going into the workout room and wiping everything down and making sure everything was clean and sanitized after every use. I mean, they're still going to do that, but if you can leave some of the thought processes of, hey, am I going to get coronavirus by touching a barbell or a dumbbell of somebody who may have had it prior to me using it? Well, if the science is now saying you can't, that goes a long way to start opening up facilities and start getting people to be a little bit more open about the idea of, hey, can we get these student athletes in? Now we can play some football. Now we can practice some football, et cetera. And now all of a sudden sports is having a different kind of conversation. Again, not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. I'm not doing research on this. I'm just saying if this latest trend is true, then it does open up sports to another level of conversation on how it comes back. Because you think about where we were a month ago, just a month ago, not 2 months ago when things were shutting down, but a month ago, where we kept hearing about the possibility of coming back. But when you listed all of the issues that were a problem to achieve those goals, you started thinking it was just too big of a hill to climb, right? Ron and I equated it to Tommy Lee Jones in the movie Volcano, where he's in Los Angeles, everything's blowing up, you got volcano lava over here, lava's pouring over here, he's got this building that's going to collapse, got a neighborhood that's on fire, and at one point he's practically giving up. He's just like, I don't know what to do. That's the way it was. That's the way it felt like when you said, okay, if basketball's going to come back, what are you going to do about the basketballs that get affected by a guy that has coronavirus that touches it? I don't know. What are you going to do about it if a guy, if he doesn't have it in one test, but then he goes home and he gets it and he comes back and then it's not a testing day? And then what do you do if one player gets it? Does the whole team shut down? I don't know. What do you do it when two teams have it and now all of a sudden they've played a couple of games already. Do you have to shut the whole thing down? I don't know. Well, here we are a month later, and while some of those questions aren't answered, there is a belief that there is, as we gather more information on this virus, that maybe some of the fears can be alleviated, and now we come up with a more reasonable plan to come back to sports. Look, we've had these events now where we've had a couple of NASCAR races, we've had a couple of charity golf events, there's been some soccer games where there's been no fans in attendance. And while I love the roar of a crowd, and I think it's important, the energy and excitement of a walk-off home run, or a three-pointer that goes in at the buzzer. I mean, think about Kawhi Leonard's shot last year if nobody is in that arena, right? How, if that was just an empty arena. The level of energy that you can get from a crowd is the one of the intoxicating aspect of sports, right? When you see the camera shake because 80,000 people, you know, have lost their mind. I mean, you talk about college football, one of the most fun stories in college football is the earthquake game at LSU,
right, where they were playing Auburn, and LSU came back, it was like in the 80s, and a miniature small earthquake was registered when LSU scored the go-ahead touchdown and went on to win the game. Like, they had like a seismology department, and they were like, they noticed that the earth shook. That's fans. That's fans being in a building or a stadium, right? Those are important. However, I think we're okay. I think we're going to be okay based on watching. Good, the Bad, and the Dumb coming up next.
Wake Up Call continues now. Continues now. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it is the good, the bad, and the dumb here on a Monday. I'm glad you could be with us. I know it's a holiday weekend. I know it's Memorial Day weekend, and it is a time to not only celebrate with family, friends, if you can and can do so safely. It's also time to remember the sacrifice that was made for us to do exactly that this Memorial Day weekend. But nevertheless, we have the good, the bad, and the dumb because we always do, no matter what day it is. So let's get the good of the day.
You know what the good of the day? This story made me feel really good. And Brian Dozier is a part of it. Is he playing with the Braves right now?
Or who's he? God, I don't know, but I thought Braves.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's. I'll look it up, but it doesn't really matter. There's a neighborhood just outside his neighborhood, right?
Okay.
Which I'm not really sure where it is. That's why I thought it was somewhere outside Atlanta. That's why I was thinking he was part of the Braves. But a neighbor of his decided to paint a replica baseball diamond in their cul-de-sac.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Like on the road?
On the road.
Yeah.
So it's just this huge cul-de-sac, you know, big roundabout. There's like, you know, maybe three or four houses on that side. And, you know, he started off by painting, you know, kids were just out there just playing baseball every day. And he's like, you know what? We're in lockdown. What if I went out there and painted a home plate and some baselines, first and second base, third base, whatever. And then he's sitting out there, and kids, more and more kids kept showing up. So then he was like, well, let me take it a step further. He colored a green infield and a pitcher's mound.
Very nice.
And so now what has happened is that this has drawn kids from all over the neighborhood. And they're all flocking to this place, and they're having nightly games. And this weekend, they're having a best-of-seven series, because every time they play, it's always boys against girls. And he helps out the boys team. I think he was he's either a coach at a local college or high school or something, or has a team. He is somehow affiliated with baseball. Brian Dozier, the reason why I bring him up is because he saw it, and he's been going there every single day as well, every single night. He is coaching the girls team.
And this weekend only,
they're having a best of seven series to determine who has the better team.
That's fantastic. Now, are they doing like wiffle ball? What kind of baseball are they playing?
I think they might be doing. I don't think it's wiffle ball, because when I saw one of the girls hit, I mean, she cleared the house, and I'm like, okay,
all right.
I mean, no matter how good of a hitter you are, you can be major league hitter. A wiffle ball is not clearing a house.
No, not at all.
You're not getting a 100, 200 yards on a wiffle ball. Yeah. Sorry. So I think they might be playing with one of those softballs. Not a softball, but I can't think of the name for it. It's like what T-ball kids use.
Gotcha. Okay.
Where the ball, if it hits you, it's not going to hurt. It can still break a window, obviously.
Yeah.
But
well, I remember when I was a kid, Nerf had a baseball that was hard enough. Like, it wasn't like a Nerf football. It was hard enough. And we used to get them because the only way we could play in my neighborhood was if you threw the ball at a runner. Like, he was out. So we needed a ball that was soft enough that you could peg at your buddy when he was running to first, because we didn't have enough players to field every base. So that was. So I'm wondering if they use something like that.
Maybe. I didn't really get a good look at the ball, but I mean, I noticed. I mean, I think they're playing with regular bats. I mean, I don't know.
That's really awesome.
But it was just the fact that, you know, this is great. I hope it. You know, something like this can throw around the community altogether. I mean, it doesn't. I mean, they're kind of practicing social distancing. They're kind of practicing, but I don't know. The way like my wife and I always talk about it is that, you know, you have a circle of friends that you trust, and
yeah.
You just kind of, you know. I mean, each day it feels like we keep growing the circle of friends a little bit more.
Exactly.
Like, okay, you know, we're okay. We can high five, or, you know, do the Phil Mickelson air five, if you will.
All it takes is one Karen to show up screaming her head off, and everyone's going to die.
Well, it seems like Karen is screaming her head off the other way.
Yeah.
You know, that's constantly true. Complaining about, why do I have to wear a mask?
That's true.
Why good do point. I have to do this? Why do I have to do that?
But Karen's come in all shapes and sizes.
She
so
does.
Who knows? That's a good story. That's really awesome.
Yeah.
I'm seeing a video of this now. It looks really cool.
Yeah. I mean, that field looks good.
Really look good.
I mean, I like hopefully the city doesn't mind any paint in the road.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's very good. All right. What's the bad of
the
day?
The bad of the day, you know, speaking of social distancing, some places have opened up. You know, or cities are starting to get more relaxed. There was a few places highlighted in Texas, and I think it's kind of maybe the same thing going on in other places where it's Memorial Day and bars are opening, and even though you're supposed to be practicing, it's still somewhat of a lockdown mentality. You know, places are only supposed to be open to 25% capacity,
right,
or whatnot. There's some people I think should be getting in trouble. There's one in a particular. If you type in on Twitter, Lake of the Ozarks.
Oh, I have seen that. Yeah.
Did you see that
packed.
Video?
Packed.
That thing was packed.
Now, my first thought when I saw it was, all right, look, I mean, I know the political game we're playing. I get it.
Right.
I get it. So my first thought was, is somebody posting this video from last year saying, oh my God, look at this and look how terrible it is, and everybody's just immediately jumping on it. But and by all indication, that was from this weekend. So I don't, so I'm assuming it is this weekend. That was incredible. I mean, there's literally, it
yeah.
looked like any weekend at any time in the history of mankind.
Right. Right. I mean, and then, you know, I mean, on top of that too, there's, you know, there's a few videos circulating around here where there's bars and restaurants that are just filled to capacity. I mean, it didn't look like, oh, this place is at 25% capacity. It looked like the bar owner was like, let them in. Money's flowing.
Well, I told you this. When our restaurants here in Tennessee were allowed to have people in the dining room, it was on a Tuesday, and my wife and I had a plan of getting Takeout Tuesday to support the mom and pop restaurants that are in our town. So on that Tuesday, we went to a restaurant to go eat inside, and we felt like we shouldn't have been there. Like, it was really dreary. It was very spaced out. And I felt like I probably need to get this to go and get out of here. It felt like nobody wanted to be there. It felt like are we breaking the law? Like, it was really creepy. But now it is, all the restaurants are busy. All the restaurants have waits. People are in their car waiting for their little buzzer to go off. You used to not be able to have larger parties of six or more. Now parties of 10 are going in. It's like, again, it's that whole idea of just relaxing the restrictions enough till you get, next thing you know, everything's blown up. But I don't know what to make of it.
I don't either.
But at the same time, I mean, I know people are just getting tired. They're just exhausted with this.
I get
it. 2 months.
Yeah, I get that as well. I mean, we're all in the same boat. You know, we're just done with being in quarantine.
Is anybody scared of this anymore? Because I don't think people are. I think people are getting a little just tired of it. Like, maybe in the beginning it was like, you get this, you die. And then after a while, you're like, yeah, the death rate is very low. I ain't dying, and I'm not going to stay inside anymore. I mean,
yeah.
That's it. I'm had enough.
Or I'll take my chances.
If I get this, then I'll probably survive, you know, but I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not going to sit at home. I'm not going to be locked up. It's 78 degrees outside and sunny, and I'm supposed to be indoors. This is insane. I'm not doing this. Sorry. Or it's 90, or it's 95 degrees.
Well, I mean,
I'm supposed to be inside.
On Saturday here, it was 90, but the humidity made it feel like 100.
Yeah, I want to go to the pool. I want to go to the lake. I'm done with this. I mean, I'm just done
with
this.
And I can understand, like, hey, if you're going to go to the lake, it just seemed like this one party spot.
Yeah.
Was just filled to the max with people. And that I would be a little nervous about right now. I mean, because if we can start doing that, I always look at it this way. It's okay, you know, how many people can we fit into a stadium right now?
Yeah.
And that's how I'm kind of gauging my coronavirus quarantine level.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, again, we're getting so much different information. It seems like every day there's again, it depends on what political side you're on about what information you're getting, you know. And I don't know who to believe, what to believe, but I do know this: I know there's one side that wants to treat it like it's nothing. The other side thinks that the second you get it, you might as well write your will and testament and say goodbye to your family. Like, and there's somewhere in the middle is where we really are. And I don't know where that is. I was talking about this earlier, right? We see reports that you can't get it off of surfaces now. Okay, well, you told me 2 months ago that not only could you get it off surfaces, it stays on surfaces even after you wiped it down.
Yeah.
That was the initial, like, you could scrub that counter all you want. That coronavirus is waiting to kill you.
Yeah, it was what?
And now they're saying you can't get it. If I touch the counter and I have coronavirus, and then you come right after me and touch the same counter I just touched, you're not going to get it.
You know.
Like, that's the new
rule. That's why I'm confused. Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, what was it? Like, if it stays on the surface. What was the original one? It was like, stays on the surface like 2 weeks?
Yeah. Exactly.
Or 25 hours or something. Yeah. Something bizarre. Like, it all just kind of sits there for 48 hours. So don't touch that. Don't touch this. I'm like, okay, walking around not touching anything then.
My son works at a restaurant. They can't give out bottles. He works at a steakhouse. They can't give out bottles of A1 or Heinz 57.
Of course.
Like, they cannot give the bottle.
Can't do that.
Now the report is you can't get it from that. So all the servers are pouring the stuff into cups, right? So they have to pour it into cups, and then you have to give it to them. So if somebody wants more, they have to run back and pour it into cups rather than just give a bottle. Well, this report, right, is saying you can't get it off. So if that's true, then they can start doing little things like that now. Right? They're doing paper menus. Well, now they can go back to regular menus if this report is true. So there's a whole zillion ramifications from this, from all sorts of industries, if this is true. But the problem is, I don't know if it's true. So we'll see. You know, we'll have to see.
I know.
All right. What is the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day was this police chase that looked straight out of a movie in L.A. The dumb is, we'll get to the dumb in a second, but let me tell you about this police chase. Basically, it was a man and a woman in a truck. They stole a stolen truck. They ended up going wrong way on a freeway at one point, getting into speeds of around 100 miles per hour, hit a car head on. The truck was able to continue driving during the pursuit. When they finally hit the streets on this pursuit, someone ran out and gave this guy a bottle of alcohol. And he chugged it. We're not sure.
Wait.
Yeah, no, I'm not done yet.
Okay, I know, but wow. Okay, keep going.
And then what impaired the driver was someone, a good citizen out there, stepped up to the plate and threw a paintball at the windshield. And that impaired the driver's ability to see, obviously. I guess he hit it right in the right spot. And that brought the race, the chase to an end.
Go back to the alcohol thing.
There's video of a guy running. I think we're going to assume it's alcohol because the guy's running. Unless it's, you know, the guy's treating it like a marathon. And he's just driving like, oh, here's a cup of water. Keep going, man. You got this. Yeah, you got this. Keep going.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, but all reports were that it was a bottle of alcohol.
Was somebody just like, I was going to drink this until I saw this guy, and I just figured, well, you know what? He needs it better than me, so I just gave him my alcohol. I was heading home to make some rum and cokes with the missus, but I decided to just hand this off to the guy that was just running. That's great.
But the dumb comes, does anyone ever get away in these high-speed chases?
No.
In today's world?
No.
I mean, maybe back in the 50s you did, right?
Right.
Probably in the 60s, maybe even the 80s you did. But the fact that there's cameras everywhere, there's a helicopter that immediately is on top of you. And if it's not a police helicopter, news helicopters, I think they just live in the sky.
Yeah, they just
hang around. I don't think they ever come down.
Follow you until you're done. Yeah, like the Hollywood always painted it out like the bank robbers would always go, it's the Jim Hill gang. You tell them what, and then they would rush off and they would be gone. And they'd be like, the Jim Hill boys were back at it again. And they got away with it. Right now, it's like if you do something and they get you, they'll just, all right, we got a helicopter in the sky or eye of the sky. And they just follow you until you're done. Follow you, you know. What happened to, like, Joe Pesci in, like, Casino running into the parking garage and changing cars to avoid all the FBI trackings?
You know, but, I mean, if we ever see a video anymore of the robbers trying to get away or any certain bad guy trying to get away and drive down an alley real quick, turn off their lights, turn off their engine, Can we just all assume that, you know, that definitely is Hollywood, because that would never work?
No, that's right.
I think the only people who could probably get away right now are the motorcycles that can go like 300 miles per hour.
Yeah. I was liking in a story when the person who needs to get away, like, he's running and he runs down an alley and then they go right past the alley that would be the number one place somebody would go trying to escape, and totally forget that there's an alley there that makes a very good place to ward off people who are chasing you.
Yeah.
Right. Instead of just going, hey, you know what's more likely? He went that way.
But it's some wild video.
Yeah,
wild.
Well, really, it's crazy. All right. That is the good, the bad, and the dumb on Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call. It is SB Nation AM. Glad you could be with us again from the weekend that is, that was, with the match and the Coca-Cola 600, and we could have some more events coming down the road, but you may have to wait a little bit longer to get, like, the NBA back in gear. But we are going to have another NASCAR race coming up on Wednesday. Again, no fans in attendance, limited personnel, etc. That's what they're doing, but it is starting to creep back a little bit. Also, golf, if you liked watching the match, golf is set to return in a couple of weeks at Colonial Golf Country Club in Fort Worth, Texas, for the Colonial. That event, again, no fans in attendance, etc., testing, all of those type of things. But it's, again, it's just one more event to add to the calendar. I honestly believe that the NFL and college football are going to go off as scheduled. I'm just getting that feeling. I have nothing to back it up. It's not any inside information, but I think the way these other sports are coming back and showing how it can come back in whatever capacity, and, you know, using testing, using all of the things that they can keep, make sure people are safe. I think the NFL and college football are going to go off as scheduled. Maybe some adjustments to college football and the scheduling. Maybe some games have to get canceled. But I think the NFL is going to go off without a hitch. I think college football is going to be fine as well. Again, just a hunch right now based on the energy coming back. It is Wake Up Call to SB Nation AM.